So we begin today Sefer Vayikra. I have a shiur prepared on Parshas Pekudei, but we'll Od Chazon LaMoed, maybe next year, I don't know. Vayikra El Moshe Vaydav Hashem Elov Me'el Moed Lema Daber El Bnei Yisrael V'mata Lehem. And as you know, this Chumash has another name to it, Toras Kohanim, and it covers the entire gamut of karbonos, and the Torah as an introduction to Sefer Yikra tells us, Adam ki yakriv michem karbon lashem min avehem min abokim min atzon takrives karbanchem. And we're going to focus now on Pasuk Gimel, and this is going to be introduction number one to Sefer Vayikra. B'li neder, I hope we'll have time for introduction number two as well today. Two introductions to Sefer Vayikra, two fundamental points about Karbonos and the process of Tshuva and Kapar. The first point is here in Pasuk Gimel. And the Torah says, with regard to a Karbon Ola, which is brought min HaBokar Zachar, keep that in mind for the second part of today's Shia, that the Ola is from Zachar. It says, El Pesach O El Moed Yakriv Oso Lirtzono Lifnei Hashem. There are two parts to this pasuk that would seem to contradict each other. And that's what Chazal are very sensitive about. It's a Gemara in Kiddusha. One part of the pasuk says, Yakrivenu, or Yakriv Oso. Those words are typical of what we call Lashon Tzivui, which means a mandate that's unconditional. In fact, the halach is very strict. Whenever the Torah mandates and commands something, it becomes kofen oso. We can even force him and coerce him. In that sense, as I've said many times, halach of the Torah is not democratic. It's not a question of will, it's not a question of ratzon, it's a question of being compelled to do so. The Torah says, Yakriv Oso. And Yakriv Oso means that will force him, if necessary, to do so. And the Gemara in Kiddushin Adaf Nun says that the word Yakriv means Melamed Shekofen Oso. We force him. But there's a second word in this pasuk, and that should call our attention. It seems to be a contradiction to the first Yakriv, and that's Lirtzono. Lirtzono means that he has the will and he has the desire to bring the carbon. So what is it? Is it Yakriv and is it Kofen Oso? We'll force him. Or is it Lirtzono and it's conditional on the fact that he wants to bring the carbon? So the Gemara in Kiddushin, in order to reconcile this, the Gemara says that Kofen Oso Ad Sheyomar Rotzani. Here's the Lashon of the Gemara. It's also in Kiddushin, it's also in Erchin. Tana Rabbanan Yakriv Oso Melamed Shekofen Oso. Uksiv Lirtzono HaKetzad. How do we reconcile this contradiction? Is it Kofen Oso, we force him? Or is it Lirtzono in his will? Kofen Oso Ad Sheyomar Rotzani. Now what would you say, Rabosa, if they beat him up until he finally says, okay, does that really mean Rotzani?
Well, is that sort of.
Sort of. It's a formal kind of ratzon, but it's not a real, genuine, internal ratzon. And that's what you'll see here, the Torah Tmima, his name was Epstein. Yeah, so that's what the Torah Tmima says. Well, what kind of lirtzono is this? The Torah says that it's got to be lirtzono, and that's the precondition. So he says the following, Anan Sahadi Denichale Bekapara. That we can testify to the fact that Nichale, that he really wants this kapara. You know, he may be yelling and screaming, I don't want to bring the karma, but the kapara itself he wants. Vabirhu, and what does this mean, that he really wants the kapara? Ki be'emes, and here if you could underline these words, kol ish mi Yisrael, every single member of the Jewish nation, rotze, he really has this desire, the pnimius nafsho, in the internal depths of his soul, l'kayim mitzvah satorah. So why is it that people don't fulfill the mitzvah satorah? It's not because they don't want to, they really do want to. That's the true essential desire that defines the essence of their nefesh. El shi yitzro misgabral, there's something on the outside externally, a barrier that prevents them from implementing their true will. And it could be many different forms, this Yetzirah. You know, there's a desire for self-glory, there's a desire for amassing wealth, there's a desire for pleasure. Many of the above, they all fit into the Yetzirah Mizgabral of the Yetzirah getting the better of it, and therefore it prevents him from fulfilling his true inner will. And that's why Kofenoso, somehow Kofenoso, when we force him, then what we're able to expose, so to speak, to bring out to the surface, something which is deep, you know, submerged below the surface, but we have to make sure that he emerges on top of the surface, and that's his inner pnimius ratzon, his ratzon apnimius, ratzon nafshi. And then at the end of this presentation, the Torah Tmima tells you to check out the Rambam at the end of the second parak of Gerushin, which is the second source on your page. And there the Rambam writes that if the halacha requires that a person must divorce his wife because he has violated his obligations in a very fundamental way within the course, within the framework of marriage, v'lo rotzel garish, but despite the fact that the rabbis and the dayanim in the Bezdin, they tell him, you know, you got to divorce your wife, he refuses to do so. So this is a very famous Rambam. The Rambam says, Bezdin, a Jewish court, no matter what time it is, what place it is, wherever it is, makin oso, they actually physically beat him up. And by the way, I know of a neighborhood in Brooklyn, I come from Brooklyn, New York, where they still do this to this day. Of course, they get, at the end of the day, they get prosecuted by the federal government, but that's a different problem. Okay, makin oso achiyoma rotsani, they beat him up until he yells and screams, yeah, I want to give my get. And then they write the get, and the get is kosher.
Really?
Viloma, so the Rambam asks, Viloma lo batel get zeh, but the, you know, the basic fundamental requirement of a get, it's got to be mirtzono, it's got to be freedom of will. Harehu anus, he is compelled to do so, whether it's compelled by the by a bezin shel goyim, bezin shel yisrael, various din, you know, that have to be studied. Says the Rambam, and here's the bomb, he says, ein omrim, we don't say anusu, we don't say that he is compelled against his will. If a person is forced and compelled to do something which the Torah doesn't require him to do, then that's considered onus. He's not doing it from his will. However, Misha took for Yitzro Hara Levatol Mitzvah, but if he really has a mitzvah, he's commanded to do so according to the Torah law. But his evil inclination gets the best of him, olasos avera, or compels him to non-fulfillment of a mitzvah, or even worse, to actively violate an avera. But vahuka, but now they beat him up, asha asa davish mechuyev lasoso, so that he'll do that which he's obligated to do so. Ein zeh onus. The Rambam says that's not onus. That's considered das. Why? Because the evil inclination is really not his das. That's not his true will. Again, he's not interested in divorcing his wife, but he does want to be a Jew. And as a Jew, the Rambam says, Rotsu lasos kol mitzvos. A Jew means that he wants to do the mitzvos. You know, when we look at it, the Jewish community today, all over the globe, it's hard to look at the, you know, put on the Rambam spectacles and see every Jew the way the Rambam saw every Jew. But the Rambam says, every Jew, right, kol echem Yisrael, he wants to be part of the Jewish people, rotzel lasos kol mitzvos, he wants to fill all the mitzvos, ulisrachik min aves, he wants to avoid violation of any aves, but yitzro hu shetokvo, but there's something external, his yetzer, his inclination that's preventing him, that's getting the best of him. But kevan shehuka, now that we beat him up, ad shetoshash yitzro, we're really not beating him up, we're beating up his yetzahara. We're beating up all those barriers that prevent him from implementing his true, real, essential desire to do the mitzvahs. V'yomer rotzani, now he finally gets to the point where the yetzahara has been beaten to a pulp, it's black and blue, and now he says rotzani. Is kvar garash mirtzono, girish mirtzono, that already is considered ritzono. So it's a fascinating fundamental principle at the very beginning of the parasha of Karbanos, of the Sefer of Torah Kohen and Vayikra, that when a person brings a kapara, when a person violates an aver, first and foremost, he does so because of some external force, the Yetzer Hara. But number two, that his inner true will is to fulfill the mitzvah Torah and certainly to bring the karbon and be mechaper. We have to sometimes do a little bit of a surgical operation here to remove those
obstructions.
Yeah, what would you call them in dental terms? You know, the that you know, when a surgeon has to remove something that's very dangerous to the teeth. What are those things that they remove?
Decay.
Excellent. Decay. So the Yetzer Hara here is a reference to decay, or can we refer to the Yetzer Hara as decay? So that in my day, I don't know, is it true, Harvey, in your day too, that dentists were called oral surgeons?
Yes.
Yeah. So an oral surgeon has to remove the decay. And that's what Beis Din is going to do. They're going to beat up a person, remove the decay. The decay is this barrier called the Yetzer Hara. And now what comes to the surface and emerges is the true will of the person, his essential will insofar as he's a Jew, is he wants to fulfill the desire of God and the will of God. And here I have to tell you the Chassam Sofer, that was the son of the Chassam Sofer, he expands upon this, and he says that there's another interesting phrase here in this very same Pasuk. Again, if you're looking on page 249, Pasuk Gimel ends with two extra words, or they seem to be extra, Lifnei Hashem. Now, where in the world are you going to bring the karbon? Again, we're not talking about Christianity, lahavdil, right? But in Judaism, when you bring a karbon, you bring it lifnei Hashem. And the Ramban was very bothered by these two extra words, lifnei Hashem. Why were they added? And the Ksav Sofer wants to take a stab at it. He wants to say, based on the Gemara and Erechin that we started with, in the Rambam in Perek Beis Milchus Gerishin, that this word, this phrase, lifnei Hashem, means the following, that people who are spectators and they look at this entire scene from the outside and they see that Beis Din is beating up this guy until finally yells out, Rotzani, please stop beating me, I'll give the get or I'll bring the karbon. Is nira, it appears to the onlooker that Bal Karcha Hu Oseh, that he really is doing it because he's compelled.
Against his will.
It's against his will. We see that we have to beat him up. But lifnei Hashem means Hashem, God who knows the inner thoughts of a person, his true feelings and his thoughts, Yodea Machshavos, Yodea, God will be able to judge. Ki im yichpo shuvia libo imo v'yasel ertzona, God judges that he, at the end of the day, once they force him, he wants to really give the get, or he wants to really bring the karbon, and that's called ritzono lifnei Hashem. Lifnei Hashem in contrast to li'enei b'nei Adam, the other people who look and they see it from the outside, they think, no, he's just being forced, he's compelled, that's not his will. But lifnei Hashem, Hashem knows to penetrate into the depths of his heart that he really has this will to bring the karmon. Now, where does a Jew get this inner will that's pure, that really wants to do the will of Hashem? So the Sfas Emes takes us back to Parshas Lech Lecha. Of course, Avraham Avinu, the great giant father of the people of Israel, enters into a bris, into a covenant with Hashem Yisparach. And that bris has a repercussion through Jewish history. It's a bris that generates a relationship, a covenantal relationship between the Jewish community throughout the generations, all the descendants. And what is really the essence of this bris? Says the Sfas Emes, the great Ger Rebbe, and it's a tremendous penetrating idea, that every Jew, as opposed to the members of the other nations, and as a Zerav Avraham Avinu, has the potential to achieve mitzvos, maisim tovim, on the highest level. And what we find is that when Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you remember after the Chet Egel, Ve'escha Oscha L'Goy Gadol, I'll destroy the Jewish people and I'll make you the father of the nation, Lo Kibol Olav, but Moshe Rabbeinu refuses to accept that role as being the father of the Jewish people. Why is that so? It's not just simple humility, which certainly it is, but it's even beyond that. It's because Moshe Rabbeinu, Zachar, Shakol Bolo B'koch Avos. Where does he come from, Moshe Rabbeinu? How is he as great as he is? And the answer is because he inherits those spiritual genes of his forefathers of the Avos. And that gives us the following principle. He says the klal is that every Jew has to know, he has to acknowledge that the koach, that the potential that he has, is something that he inherits from his avos, from the bris, the covenant that was established between Hashem and Avram Avinu. And that's the ikar, that is the primary way that he can achieve whatever he achieves in the service of Hashem. Kol yigiyas ha'adam, all of man's work and effort and toil in order to serve Hashem, eino nechshav l'klum, it's secondary, it pales in comparison to the koach, to the power that he inherits from his great ancestors, from the Avos. And in that sense, we have to recognize this koach, this power that's inherent in every Jew. And therefore, when a person uses his abilities to choose the right way, the right path, and become righteous, he's really choosing b'darchei avosav. He's really just simply fulfilling that which is inherent in him himself, insofar as he's a descendant of Avram Avinu. And therefore the koach, the power that he gets that's going to propel him to do the mitzvahs of Hashem, is the statement that should sort of reverberate through his mind and through his consciousness. Masai yagia maisei lemaisa avosa. When can I finally say that I lived up to the legacy of my forefathers? And here, Abosai, we're about to present a whole new interpretation of a bracha that we, each and every one of us, recites at least three times a day. And that's Avos, which concludes with the words, Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avraham. And we assume, at least that's how I assume for a couple of decades, that Magen Avraham means you protected Avraham. He was thrust into the Kivshan Aish, and you came down and you saved him. There were many other adversaries that attacked Avraham. You, God, saved him. Oh no, says the Sfas Emes, it's much more profound than that. When we thank Hashem and we express our acknowledge our gratitude, Magen Avraham, it means that there's an akuda, there's a point, a spiritual point, b'chol ish Yisrael, inherent in every single Jew. Asher hu yisbarach Magen, and God Himself will protect that nekuda in every Jew. Aleh aleh means referring to that nekuda. So God says, no matter how far a Jew strays from the right path, nevertheless, I will be the Magen Avraham, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Avraham here is a reference to that nekuda pnimit, that inner essence of the Jewish nefesh, the Jewish soul, which he inherits from Avraham Avinu, which again, each Jew will use, and you know, that's the takeoff point, the jump-off point for his particular madrega, whatever great madrega he achieves, but it all begins with this very common nekuda that's universal for all Jews that we inherit from Avram. So Rabosai, we're going to dab mincha a little bit later on, and we're going to say Magen Avram, we're going to say to Hashem, thank you Hashem for protecting that nekudas Avram that defines the nefesh of every Jew. And that is why a Jew is kofeno sachio merotzani, even if we have to compel him, but what really comes to the surface is his inner and true will. And you know that the Sfas Emes was the Rebbe of Ger, and this concept of the Ger Rebbe reverberates throughout all the giants of the Ger HaSidim throughout the generations. For example, the Sifsei Tzadik quotes the Chidushi Arim, and now we're really going back to the origins of Ger. And Hashem says to Avram, Anochi Magen Lecha, I will be your protector. Says the Chidushi Arim, you know what this means? Haganah, God says, I will protect the Shoresh, the root, Shehishrish Bechol Lev Yisrael, which God implanted deep in the heart, in the soul of every single Jew, Nitzotz, a certain spark of Judaism, of Jewishness, pnimi, that's very essential to them. It's the existential essence of the being of a Jew, shel yuchal la'abid zos, and he can never lose it. And that is the reason, that is the potential for tshuva. Why is it that we say that a person can violate all the averis, no matter, ain't so. He calls it elef averis, and nevertheless, he still is able to do tshuva. Why is it so? Isn't it true that every Jew, you know, if he goes that far and he crosses the red line, he no longer can do tshuva? No, the answer is because he always has this magen lecha. Anochi magen lecha, God protects and nurtures that nitzotz that's within each and every Jew. It's tamun, omek libo, betoch omek libo, deep in his heart. And that's the magen Avram. That's what we thank Hashem for, protecting that nitzotz, that spark of Jewishness, that pure desire on the part of a Jew to do the fulfill the will of God. And the Sfasemis again reiterates this when he says that every Jew, the Pasuk says, Chelek Hashem Imo, Ani Hashem, I am your God. It means that Yesh Bahem Chelek. What does it say? Chelek Hashem, every Jew has that Chelek Elokus. She'ena makabel shinui, ki lo shinisi, v'atem b'nei Yaakov lo chilisem. And even if a person changes that legacy that he received from his avos through chet, but nevertheless he could always do tshuva and again purify himself. And all that is on the chassidish side. On the litvish side, we go over to the Meshech Chachma, that was Rabbeinu Simcha Mitvinsk. And he's medayik in a pasuk in Shmos, three extra words. So if you want to open up to Perek Gimel of Sefer Shmos, and in this case, you'll see three extra words in a pasuk on page 132. And there the pasuk says, just 1 second, let me read the pasuk to you. At the snare, Moshe Rabbeinu finds out from Hashem that Paro will not let you go out of Mitzrayim. Velo biyad chazaka, and not even when I, meaning God, stretches His very rough and harsh hand, His arm is stretched out, is extended against Paro. So the Meshech Chachma wants to understand what is the meaning of these three extra words, V'lo biyad chazaka. You have it on page 132, and it is the last three words in Pasuk Yutes, which is about two-thirds of the way down, V'lo biyad chazaka. I'll show it to you here, so see if you can...
Here it is.
You have it. Okay, yeah. Great. You found it. Oh, says the Netziv, there's a world of deep insight here inherent in those three words, V'lo biyad chazaka. And herein lies the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew. Says the Netziv, what's great about a Jew? A Jew has what's called a Nefesh Yisraeli, who has a taiva. Unbelievable that he uses the word taiva. Taiva is usually a craving, a passion. The Nefesh Yehudi, the Nefesh Israeli, has a taiva, a craving, a lashlemus hamiti, to reach perfection in the service of Hashem. And even if he deviates from the path, al yedei kfiya, we can straighten him back onto the path. Right? You can take something that's crooked and straighten it out in the case of a Jew through forcing him. Because Sara Mimenu Tava Sachomer, as soon as we beat up his body, and all those desires that come from the physicality of man are all subdued, at this point what emerges is the nefesh, the spirit of the person, the soul of the person, Nena Mikir Rotzen Hashem, and he or she desires the fulfillment of the will of God. And again he invokes the Rambam that we saw at the outset in Perek Beis Milchus Gerushin. Aval who? Who is referring to Paro, in Kachas Paro. He doesn't belong to the Nefesh Israeli. He's not a member of that group. Lo yaskim birtzona muchlad. He has this evil desire to subjugate the Jewish people, etc. Velo al yedei yad chazaka. Even if we beat the living daylights out of him, it's not going to change one iota. Because the halach of Rotzani, that only applies to a Jew insofar as he has this inherent, essential desire to fulfill God's will, but the guy doesn't have that parallel desire. So af, even if Yaku, biyad chazaka v'yachfu, even when I beat him up, gamkein, still the pasuk applies, Lo yitain lahaloch. He won't let the Jewish people go out of Mitzrayim, because once he has a ratzon, we can't change that ratzon. It's an ironclad will to do evil against the Jewish people. And here, based on this whole presentation, one of the great Hasidic giants, the Yismach Moshe, who came, I believe, from a town called Siget, I don't know if you heard of it, he wants to answer up a kasha, a very difficult kasha. When God gave the Torah to the Jewish people, the nations of the world, according to the Yalkut Shimoni, gathered together and they said, "What's going on over here? We don't think that this is fair that you give the Torah to this nation." And my role is Karev Lem Yosef Mikol Menakol. Why are you closer to this nation? Why do you choose them above all the other nations? And Sasam Hakadosh Baruch Hu Piu. PM. So God comes to undermine their claim, the Omer Lem, and he says to them, "Where is your Sefer Yuchsin? You know, show me who are your forefathers, your ancestors."
That's a big challenge.
Yeah, for the Goyim it's a big challenge. For the Jews it's not such a big challenge. I know a Jew who can trace himself back to David HaMelech.
Really?
Yeah, because it works like this, Harvey. There's a trick here. If you can trace yourself back to certain individuals, like Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz or whatever it is, then automatically they had a Shtar Yuchsin that went back to David Amel. So you might not have access to all those documents, but as long as you can get back to your great-great-grandfather, which many people can, and now it's very popular. In any event, let's go back to the Medrash. So the Medrash says, God challenges the Goyim, and he says, "You know what? Present me your Yuchsin. Like, who are your ancestors?" Shenemar havul Hashem mishpachos amim. Okay, kiderech shivchei mevim. Shenemar v'yisyaldu al mishpachosam lebeis avosam. It should be shebonai. I'm sorry, there's a little bit of a printing error here. My children, meaning the people of Israel, v'yisyaldu al mishpachosam lebeis avosam. This is after Yetzias Mitzrayim. Nevertheless, they can trace their lineage all the way back to Avosam, to their forefathers. Now, the question is as follows. Twofold question. Number one, first of all, what does Sefer Yuchsin have to do with the giving of the Torah? Why would the fact that the Jewish people can produce a Sefer Yuchsin and a document that testifies to their lineage, whereas the Goyim in contrast cannot do so, what does that have to do with the claim of the Goyim that God unfairly chose the Jewish people for the Nesinas HaTorah? That's question number one. Question number two is, at the time that Hashem gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, the Umos HaOlam took a look and they saw what was going on, and they saw Kof Aleim Har Kegigis, that God basically compelled the Jewish people to accept the Torah. So the nations of the world said, "Wait a minute, why didn't you give us that Har Kegigis? We also would have accepted the Torah if there was a mountain over our heads." V'nira li, the bottom paragraph here in number 8, he says that the answer is that when God compels the Jewish people to accept the Torah because Kof Aleim Har Kegigis, isn't this considered an onus? These are mitigating circumstances. They are being compelled. And therefore, how could this be considered a meaningful acceptance of the Torah? And the answer is because the Gemara in Erechin that we started with, the Gemara says that Yakriv Oso Yochel Bal Korcha Ketzei Kofen Osat Shiyomer Rotzani, and the Rambam says that the Jew has this inner desire, and in the depths of his soul he wants to fulfill the will of Hashem. Now we can answer the tine of the nations of the world. Why did Hashem choose the people of Israel? The answer is because in the case of the people of Israel, we can force them to fulfill the mitzvahs, Kof Aleim Har Kegigis. And why do we have the ability to do so? I mean, after all, they're onus. These are circumstances beyond their control. It's not a meaningful acceptance. The answer is because of the principle of Kofen Osoat Shiomer Rotzani, because the Jew really wants to accept the Torah. We may need an external coercion in order to bring forth, and what will emerge now is the true will of the Jew. That's not true for the other nations of the world. The other nations of the world, if you force them, then they really have no will. It's against their will. They're anusim, and therefore they can never accept the Torah. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the nations of the world, bring me your shtar yuchsin. At least the Jewish people have a shtar yuchsin. They can trace themselves back to Avraham Avinu. They have that legacy, that the inheritance that they received from Avraham Avinu, that Magid Avraham that we spoke about before, that Nekuda and Nitzotz Pnimi of a desire to fulfill the will of Hashem. That's what they inherited from Avraham Avinu. And therefore the Kofen Osachi Yom Rotsani principle applies uniquely to the Jewish nation because of the Shtar Yuchsin. And therefore the Kof Aleim Arkegigas is only an external method in which we bring out the true will of the Jew insofar as he's a descendant of Avraham to fulfill the Torah. And here in number 9, you'll see a Chiddush of Rav Volfson, Rabbi Shem Volfson. He's a Mashkiach in Tor V'das, and he based himself on the Pre-Tzadik of Tzadik HaKohen. The Pasuk says, O Ahavti Eschem, Omer Hashem, V'Amartem B'Meh Avtonu Alo, Ach Esav L'Yakov Nium Hashem, V'Oeves Yaakov Es Esav Sanesi. The Pasuk says that Hashem loves the descendants of Yaakov, and he despises the descendants of Esav. The Af Kishein Nikar. What does this mean? Throughout the generations, God says, I will prefer the descendants of Yaakov over those of Esav. Well, you know what? They look identical. They're both walking down the streets of Berlin. They dress the same way. They walk the same way. Lefiro, say Naim to the spectator. Where is the Chiluk? Where is the difference between Esav and Yaakov? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mikol Mokom, nevertheless, Oev Hashem Es Yaakov, I love Yaakov. Why? Because there's a fundamental difference. Even though they look identical, they are different. Ein Chet Nogea B'Pnimius HaShorosh, with regard to Yaakov and his descendants, the Chet, the sin, is always external, and it never corrupts, it never undermines that root, that deep Nitzotz that we spoke about, the spark within the Jew. And if you take a look again, getting back to the Gera dynasty on number 10, you'll have to turn it a little bit to the side. The Pnei Menachem, who is not this Gera Rebbe, but the previous Gera Rebbe, right before he died, on a Shabbos, the day before he died, he was giving a drasha. This was the very last drasha that he gave before his Ptira. And at that drasha, he quoted a Mishnah in Sota. The Mishnah in Sota says that when the Sota, who of course deviated from the right path, she has to drink the Mei Sota. So the halacha is that when the Kohen has to be Mashke, he has to make sure that she drinks the Sota, he actually rips her garments to the point in which on the top part of her body her lev is exposed. And the Rebbe said that this has to be understood as the symbol of what a Jew is all about. And what this halacha is to be melamed zchus on Klal Yisrael, that when a Jew, or in this case a Jewess, deviated from the right path, then the Kohen, that's the responsibility of the Kohen, is to take off all those things that are external, that have soiled the person, those chatoim that we said are really external. Ad sheyigale lev ha-Yehudi, until what emerges after you remove all those layers and those facades of lichluch, of dirt, is you clean and you purify the Jew. His heart now shines and radiates forward. And what is it? It's tahar. It's a pure heart. It's naki. Lilo revav, without any stains. In other words, the chet of Klal Yisrael sometimes is pogea, but that's only on the level of shichvas, levushim, chitzonim, those layers of garments on the outside, the external. But when we get to the internal and we get to the essence of a Jew, it's always tahar and it's always kadosh. And now we turn to the second page. Jeremy, if you have to go, this is a perfect time because you got Roman numeral number 1. Yeah, that's a different question. The Pnei Menachem was not trying to go into the details of the laws of Tznius and to expose her heart. He was talking about the symbolic message you know, Shivim Panim La Torah, we can understand the Torah on many, many different levels. But if you want to continue this discussion, we'll do so afterwards. I just want to give Roman numeral number 2 a second introduction to Sefer Vayikra. And for this, you'll have to open up to Vayikra Perek Dalid, which is on page 255 in your blue chumashim. And what we want to learn here is the Chiddush of the Maharil Diskin, and he has a tremendous insight into the psukim here, but you know, you have to read the psukim very, very carefully in order to appreciate his insight. Now, we're talking about a unit of about 5 psukim, even more, maybe 7 psukim, that introduce what's called a karbon chatos. So in this week's parasha, which we'll read in Mirtz Hashem in a few days, the Torah tells us that in nefesh achas techto b'shgaga, if a Jew sins inadvertently, then when he finds out about the sin, he's got to bring a karbon chatos. Now, what is this karbon chatos? What animal is it? And what gender is that animal? So if you look at Pasuk Chav Ches, the Torah tells us that Ve'ivi karbono se'iras izim. It means a female goat. Okay? Now, the Torah also gives, a little bit later on in this parasha, a second option. And what's that second option? That's im keves yavi. That's on the bottom of your page, going on to the next page, Pasuk Lamed Beis. A keves is a little sheep. Yavi karbono lechatos. Now this keves is also a female, as the Torah says, nekeva tmima yivi ena. Now again, there are 2 options. We're going to see the difference between the two. One is a goat, a female goat. The other is a female sheep. And what's going to happen? What's the ultimate objective and purpose of bringing this karbon chatos? So the Torah repeats itself twice. Once in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, at the end of that Pasuk, it says, V'chiper olav ha-kohen v'nislach lo, and he will be forgiven. Now, if you take a look in the next Pasuk, I mean, just fast forward to the case of the Keves, there it says, at the end of this entire unit, that's Pasuk Lamed He, it says, V'chiper olav ha-kohen al chatos shel chata, v'nislachlo. And here there are a couple of extra words. If you take a look in the first case, that's Pasuk Lamed Aleph, it says v'chipro lo v'koin v'nislachlo. So the slicha part has only 2 words in it, v'nislachlo. Here it says al chatoso asher chata v'nislachlo. On this particular sin he will achieve atonement. So the Maharil Diskin, which you'll see on your page, asks the following question. Why is it then the case of the female goat, that's called the Seiras Ezen, the Torah just says, V'nislachlo. But when it comes to the Kivsa, when it comes to this little female sheep, there it says, with regard to V'nislachlo, it says, Al chatoso asher chat, on this sin that he violated. Says the Maharil Diskin that in order to understand the difference between the two, we're going to have to introduce a very fundamental principle in Kapara, in Sefer Vayikra, and in Tshuva. And he says the following, that the Gemara tells us in Masechta Sota, on Daf Lamed Beis, Amid Beis, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Mipnei Ma Tiknu Tfila Belachash. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, we pray a silent prayer, meaning no one's supposed to listen to us, except for Hashem. And why is that so? Shelo levayish es ovrei havero. In order to be sensitive and not embarrass a person who, when he gets to Slach Lanu, and he mentions his sin, it would become public nature, public knowledge, that's going to embarrass him. Harei, why is it that a person who voluntarily brings a carbon ola, he's not obligated to do so, brings it bitzafon in the same exact place where another person who's a sinner brings a karban chatas. And the answer is kadesh lo levayesh es over avera, meaning the onlooker, the spectator, will not know whether he's bringing a karban ola or he's bringing a karban chatas, because they're both brought in the same tzafon, in the same location. So the Gemara says, I don't get it. The Gemara in Masechta Sota asks the following question. Ha'ika chatas nekeva v'ola zachar. If he brings a korban ola, the ola is coming from a male animal, whereas in the case of a chatas, it's coming from a female animal. So anyone could see that he's a chote. It's obvious to everyone. You're trying to save him, spare him of embarrassment, just because he brings a bitzafon. That's not going to achieve your goal. He's bringing a female, and had he been bringing an ola, it would have been a male. So the Gemara says you have to know a little bit about the biology of animals and zoology. And what you'll know is that a female sheep has something called an alia. I'm not sure what it's called in English, but it's a membrane that actually covers over the female organ of the animal. And therefore it's impossible to see from a distance whether it's a male sheep or a female sheep. So the Gemara says, Tenach Kisva, that's okay in the case if he brings the second option of the Gemara, he brings a keves. But what if he opted for a Seira, a goat? A goat doesn't have that alia. And therefore, once again, everyone's going to see that it's a female. They'll know it's not an ola, but rather a chatas. So the Gemara answers, Hasam iu deka michsef nafshe. This chote made a decision on his own to bring a Seira. He had another option to bring a Kisva. So he brought the humiliation upon himself. So the Maril Diskin says the following. The Gemara tells us in Masechta of Brachos on Daf Yud Beis, Omar Rav Bar Chinina, Mishmei the Rav, Kola Ose Dovar, anyone who does an Avera, Umisbayesh Bo, and as a result he's embarrassed, Mochlin Lo Al Kol Avonosov. Because of that busha, because of that humiliation, he will achieve atonement for all his sins. And the Gemara, Rav, derives this from a pasuk Shenemar Leman Tiskri Uboshta. Oh, now what happens here? If a man brings a karban chatas, he decides he's going to humiliate himself. He takes upon himself that busha, because since he brings a seira, everybody knows that it's a female, and he's bringing a karban chatas. Here the Torah says v'nislachlo. He will achieve atonement. God will forgive him. Stam. The Torah doesn't qualify. It doesn't say God will forgive him for this particular sin. Once he is humiliated, that power of busha is such, as we saw in Rav's statement in the Gemara Brachos, Mochelo al kol avonosov. It's not specific and limited to that particular chait. It's a general, universal kapara. But Gabi Kizba, if he instead decides he wants to do this secretly, nobody should know about his sin, so he brings a kizba, which has an alia that covers the femininity, and therefore nobody knows whether he's bringing an ola or a chatas, einim is bayesh, is einom yonim shizu chatas, v'michseh bi'alia, is lo yechupalo, now the power of the karbon is limited, rak al oso chet shechata, it's only going to bring atonement for that particular chait. In other words, the Torah gave him the option of bringing a kizba, and nobody has to know that he's bringing a chata, so he's not humiliated, but he should know that the kapara power inherent in this karban chatas with the kizba is limited to that particular sin. So he makes a trade-off. He doesn't want to be humiliated. He brings this chatas, but nobody has to know it's a chatas. People could think that it's an ola. It's brought pitzafon. There's no indication that this kizba is a female. And he'll get kapara, but that kapara and that slicha is limited to that chait. It has the power to bring a kapara for that particular chait. Had he opted for a sa'ora, which means everybody would know about his sin, then he's going to suffer humiliation. He's publicly declaring that I'm a sinner. But on the other hand, that busha, that humiliation that he suffers, will create a kapara and a slicha for all his sins, because mochalo al kol avanosov. And which one of the Rishonim wrote the famous treatise on the laws of tshuva and the power of tshuva? The Rambam has a lot on tshuva, but there was another Rishon who overlapped with the Rambam but lived mostly in the next generation. His name was Rabbeinu Yonah, and he wrote a book called Shari Tshuva. And that is like the Bible on the laws of tshuva. And he spends an entire chapter focused as an introduction to this whole parasha of tshuva and kapara on busha. Hachote yevosh mi'od. Now the problem with our chote is that sometimes he's embarrassed in front of other human beings. You know, he doesn't want anyone to know that he's bringing a korban chatos. So he brings a kizba instead of a seira. V'kolem, and he becomes very, you know, red in the face. V'yargishu v'yakir b'aveirosav, if others know that he's a criminal. But echlo yivosh ben Hashem yisprach. The real busha is in front of Hashem. And with a kal v'chomer, says Rabbeinu Yonah, if he's bosh in front of human beings, how much more so should he have busha in the presence of Hashem? But why doesn't he have busha in front of Hashem and he's willing to do these averos? The answer is, hey, Yos Hashem is far rachok mekil Yosef. God is like far away. He doesn't live with God close to his kishkis, his kidneys. Al Kain, therefore, on a psychological level, Yevosh min ha-Nivraim, but lo Yevosh min ha-Bori yisparach. And he's really giving up on a wonderful golden opportunity to achieve kapar, because the Gemara tells us, Hosa dov misbayish mimenu, mochlu lo al-kol avonosav. And therefore, says Rabbeinu Yonah, the best advice I can give to a chote is the following. This is the bottom on your left column on the bottom. It says, Yasig Adam Adregas Habusha. A person should work hard with great psychological effort to reach this level where he experiences busha. But what kind of busha? Kishim is bodeid lakshov begduas Hashem. When he realizes, he becomes aware of the greatness, the unlimited, infinite God. And kamaraba ros hamamres piv, how terrible it is, therefore, to violate and rebel against the will of God. God is the infinite God. So he thinks and he contemplates the greatness of God, and he realizes, who am I? What did I do? I undermined the will of God. I deviated from His will. Ubezachro tomid, if he has this constant awareness, ki Hashem roa maisav ubochen kliyosav itzov machshosav, that God sees everything he does and penetrates into his heart, into his soul, into his thoughts, then he will desist from sin, and he'll experience this busha if chas v'shalom he rebels against God. And the Birchas Avram, which you'll see on the top left, says that on this Gemara, Ha'osa Dover Misbayish Mimena Mochlan Ola Konvosov, he says, I understand that he should have a kapara and a slich on that Avera. After all, he felt embarrassed about that particular criminal action, but why does he merit a general, all-encompassing slicha and mechila on all his Averos? And the answer is, because when a person feels that hachna, and he subjugates his will to the will of God, then that will have an impact not only on this particular avera when he has busha for this avera, but the busha of this avera really emanates from the fact that he realizes now, how could he rebel against God? How is it that he was machni himself? He didn't accept God, and therefore it's going to have an impact on all his averos, because now we see a new Jew in front of us, a total transformation of personality. He's no longer the Jew who sins and rebels. He is the Jew who's embarrassed in front of Hashem. Behachna, and that achna is going to be machaya ruach shfelim. It's going to give new life into a sinner, and as a result of that achna, he deserves mechila on all his sins. And at this point, he quotes the Ben Ish Chai and the Ben Yoyod in Brachos, who says, "Bevadei rak mochlim emasa tshuva." Of course, this mechila through busha is contingent on the fact that he does do sincere tshuva. Aval bahanech da'dayin lo nimchal b'li yisurin omisa. There are certain sins that even if he does tshuva, and he recites vidui, and he regrets the past, and he desists from sin, nevertheless he doesn't get mechila, because these are very severe averos, nevertheless mahani busha. the humiliation, the suffering, the psychological suffering of busha is even greater than all the other parts of tshuva. And where all the other parts of tshuva fall shy and they cannot achieve slicha mechila, it's only the tzar of busha which will achieve and clinch the slicha and the mechila. And that's why when we open up in slichos lecha Hashem atzdaka v'lanu, boshes hapanim. The significance of this liturgy is that we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu how humiliated we feel in His presence that we have rebelled against Him. Or for example, on Mondays and Thursdays in the Kel Rachum, we say to Hashem that we are full of busha. In the Vidui, or at least according to Rav Nissen Gaon, we say, Gashti lefanecha, I've come close to you, Hashem, mi boshes panim, with my head bowed low, because I feel a sense of humiliation of busha. And the real true greats of Klal Yisrael throughout their history were people who experienced busha. And that's why in Vidui we say, Boshnu mi kol dar, we have been humiliated even beyond every generation. Rav, also, we're running out of time, so I'm going to just try to fit in one more paragraph here, which is fast forward to paragraph number 10. The Tolna Rebbe in Zayin Achmenu in Parshas Vayikra tells the following unbelievable story about Rav Dov Ber, who's the Mittler Rebbe. You know, there are seven Rebbeim in Chabad, in Lubavitch, up to the last Rebbe, and the middle Rebbe was called Rav Dov Ber, and he said that he never accepted an aliyah to Torah. Could you imagine? He would never. The Gaboim tried to press him. He always turned down getting an aliyah. And when they finally asked him why, he says, "Ani mizbayish mei Torah, because I come up to the Sefer Torah and I feel totally humiliated." In other words, he feels that he never was able to fulfill all the Torah. This is one of the great giants of the Jewish community. The only time he would go up for an aliyah was called Imkol HaNa'arim. You know, when they brought all the children together on Simchas Torah, then he would go under the talis and he would make a bracha together with others. This is an unbelievable level of busha. Eino busha tivis. You know, you can't expect that every single Jew would experience, feel that sense of busha. This is busha of an Adam Gadol, of a great man, who comes to the conclusion that he has to be mispayish. No matter what he does, it's not enough. He has not observed the Torah the way he should. And we find this by Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't look at the Shekhinah. Alo Moshe yada ki hu haya b'shamayim v'dibur em Hashem Yisrael panim panim. But even though he spoke to God panim panim, his bayish, he was embarrassed. Moshe Rabbeinu reached that depth of understanding that he should feel busha. My Rebbe once told me about his father, that his father would never take on Simchas Torah what's called Chasen Torah. Even though the tradition was that the Rav of the community would be honored with Chasen Torah, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik felt he couldn't take that honor, because how could he say he finished the Torah? He barely started the Torah. If they gave him Chasen Breishis, which is the beginning of the Torah, that he was willing to accept. He says, "I'm going to try a new slate, a new year. But as far as the last year is concerned, I'm not Roy, I'm not fit to be the Chasen Torah." We talk about the modesty and the busha of Moshe, that midah you see in the Medrash Tanchum at the end of Parshas Ki Tiso, Moshe lo yada ki karna or ponov. Says the Medrash, Meheichan Zocha Moshe Lekarnei Hahod, a very famous statement of Rav and Shmuel, that Moshe was writing the Torah, and there was some leftover dio, Nishtayer Bekulmus Kima, and he had this extra dio, Vavira Al Rosho, Mimenu Nasilo Karnei Hahod. What's this all about? I mean, first of all, Moshe couldn't calculate how much dio, how much ink he needed in his Kulmus, and what's the significance of that tipas dio, that extra bit of ink that all of a sudden transformed to karnei hod. Now, if you put that together with the Medrash Rabbah at the beginning of Vayikra, mikan omru kol tamid chachim she'ein bo das nevela tova heimena teda lecha shekein say lemani Moshe avia chachma avia neviim shahotzi Yisrael Mitzrayim al yodu nasu kamenisim Mitzrayim noros al yamsuf. Look at Moshe Rabbeinu, brought all these miracles. All shmei marim, he goes up to the heavens. Vahorid Torah min hashmayim, he brings down the Torah. Nisasek v'mleches am mishkan. V'lo nichnas lifnai v'lifnim ad shekarol shenem v'yikra el Moshe. Despite the greatness of Moshe and all that he accomplished, he's the father of the Nevi'im. Nevertheless, he doesn't go in lifnai v'lifnim until Hashem calls him Vayikra Moshe. And lefi adin muto lichtov mezuzos of parashas tefillin al klaf shenevad me'or nevelos utreifus ubehem mezuz muteres ba'achila. So if you have a kosher species, then you're allowed to use the hides to create a cloth and write on that cloth mezuzahs and tefillin. Even if the animal, this kosher animal, dies without shechita, it's an avela, it's a trefa. Mikan, we see from this, ki kedusha satora kol kach gedola ad shebekocha lahafech lekedusha afilu oron shal nevelos utrefas sheroim. Kisharon Talmud Chacham Shalom wrote Shkidato Vatmanato B'Torah Hareu Nishar Beli Das Yira Shamayim Hare Shadivrei Torah Lo Ishpio Lov Lekadish Es Gufo Bezeb Emes Nevela Tove Menu. Then when the Medrash says that if he has no Das, a Nevela is better than him, because with Das you can take a Nevela and you can upgrade it, you can elevate it to the status of Tefillin and Mezuzahs. But sometimes the Talmud Chacham, unfortunately, even though he's dedicated and he's a masmid, but nevertheless he remains beli das. He doesn't have das, which is Yerushamayim. If he doesn't have das, if he doesn't have Yerushamayim, then he's left with the status of an avela, but not an avela that has the potential to be elevated. For that you need Das, for that you need Yira Shamayim, for that you can inspire the even the Nevela to become part of, elevated to be part of Kedusha Satorah. But if the Talmud Chacham, despite all his learning, he still remains without Yira Shamayim, it means that the Torah he studied did not have the impact on him to sanctify his body, to elevate him. And then, you know what, a Nevela is even better than him, because the Guf Adam has even a greater potential to be Niskadish, to be sanctified. Greater than that of a Nevela. But yet, a Nevela has been sanctified by the Kedusha Satorah, and yet this Talmud Chacham, his Guf, which is like the cloth of these Tefillin and Mezuzah, was not sanctified. And in the Yalkut Chamisha, it says, Mehechan Zocha Moshe Lekarnei Hod, Mimashin Ishtayr Bekumus, Pirish Diyomu Vazal, Dohoyla Lemoshe Rabbeinu Lichtov Onov Mi'od, V'kosav Onov Beli Yud. Moshe Rabbeinu omitted the Yud in the word Onov, he made it into a Choser, because he didn't want to write such a positive, you know, praise about himself. The entire shir lichtov yud, and it was left over, was the enough of an ink, just a tipas dio, to write the yud of the word anav, and that's what he left for himself. That's what he's mishayer from his kulmus. And that's what it means that Moshe Rabbeinu was zocha to these karnei ahod. The karnei ahod represent the anav, the anav of Moshe Rabbeinu, the ish Moshe Rabbeinu anav mikol adam. That mid of anav, the mid of busha, lecha Hashem atztaka v'lon bosha saponim. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. He is the personification of the mid of busha, of anava. He leaves out the yud of anav, and therefore his face radiates. That's what a Talmud Chacham has to reach. The Das of the Yerushamayim has to be Yira is Hachna, Yira is Busha, Yira means Anova, Lanu Bosha Saponim. That's the Yerushamayim. If a Talmud Chacham has that, he's got everything. If he's lacking that, he's like a Chacham Sheinbo Das, Einbo Yerushamayim, is Nevela Tova Imenu. And we now can summarize the two Yesodos that we learned today, the two fundamental introductions to Sefer Vayikra. The first introduction was Kofen Osoach Yomarotzani Magen Avram, that Pintel Yid, that very strong, powerful Nekuda Nafshit Pnimit, that essential point within a Jew that defines a Jew, gives a Jew the potential for tshuva under all circumstances. It separates the Jew from the nations of the world, and that's why the Jew can be forced and compelled to do a mitzvah, because he really wants to do the mitzvah. And therefore we should never give up on any Jew. And secondly, the second yisod, as an introduction to Sefer Vayikra, is the midah busha, to bring a karban, in this case a chatos, from a se'iras izim, and publicly experience busha. But the main thing is not busha in front of human beings, in front of the bruim, but as Shari Tshuva says, Rabbi Yonah, the busha in front of Hashem, how could I possibly, after I comprehend the greatness of God, His infinite nature, and I want to do His will, how can I possibly deviate and rebel? I'm so bushed out. And this mid of busha is what we see throughout the generations, that ma'afyein, it is indicative, it is typical of the greats, the giants, from the time Moshe Rabbeinu all the way in. To imagine a Hasidic Rebbe who refuses to take an Aliyah Torah because of his mid of busha. Halavai, we should be zocha to at least a portion, a miktsas of this mid of busha, to something of that tipas dio of Moshe that was left in his kulmus, and then will be zochim mitzvashem to all the great kapara power that's written and incorporated in Sefer Vayikra, together with the will, that inner will that we have that defines our essence as a Jew, and the midah of busha, realizing the greatness of God, and our desire never chas shom to rebel against Him, but rather to fulfill His will, will be zocha to the kapara. We'll see the Beis Hamikdash rebuilt with the korbanos brought for the sake of kapara and mechila and slicha. Kein yiratzon b'mehirav yameinu. Amen.